And here are our two friends for the day, the linear regression model and the residual model. X is the predictor, the variable related to the criterion that you will use to make an estimate of the criterion value. Y prime is the predicted criterion value. That's your best guess of each participant's Y value based on their X value. Another way to think about this, a set of words that will be helpful, especially when we start talking about statistical control, is that Y prime is the part of the criterion that's related to the predictor. Y prime is the part of the criterion that's related to the predictor. Then we have Y, which is the real criterion. This is the variable you want to use to make decisions but can't have. Maybe it hasn't happened yet, maybe you can't afford it, maybe you're not allowed to have it. The residual, on the right-hand side, is the difference between the criterion and the predicted criterion values. Error. Okay? So, some of the words and language we're going to use the rest of the day. The simple regression formula, and this is its raw score form. B is the raw score regression slope, or coefficient. If you want to call it a weight, that's fine. It's hard to make up a word that offends me. There's all these different words out there. I'll try to use all of them as we go along. If I miss one of your favorites, let me know. I'll work it in. A is the regression constant. In linear algebra, it's the y-intercept. Now, you have to be able to work with A and B as they get expressed explicitly for both quantitative predictors and binary predictors. And right now we're going to focus on binary predictors with 0-1 coding. We'll talk about all kinds of other codings when you're a little bigger. For a quantitative predictor, A is the expected value of Y if X equals 0. There's two ways to approach that. One, you could just learn it and carry it around with you till it makes sense. I've told you that. One of my first statistical professors used to love to say, if you memorize something, you can carry it around with you, use it, maybe even help other people to understand it, and then eventually you'll figure it out too. Okay? So sometimes memorizing is enough. Or you can do the math. If this is 0, this product is 0, and that is A. Okay? But it's not just a statistic. It's a behavior. If your X score is 0, how much of Y do we expect out of you? You with me? It's not just a statistic. You have to stop thinking about these as numbers and thinking about them as windows into behavior. B, the expected direction and an amount of change in Y for a 1-unit change in X. If X goes up by 1, we expect Y to change by B. Again, it's not just a number in a formula, it's a description of behavior. If you practice one more time, what do we expect the result to be? Does that make sense? If you lose one more page out of your notebook, what do we expect the consequences to be? For binary, now we're talking about that predictor variable being really two groups. A binary variable is two kinds of people. Instead of people stretched on a continuum, we now have them bunched into two kinds. A is the mean of Y for the group coded 0. Again, two ways to get there. You can memorize that, or you can say, if X equals 0, this is 0, and that's my predictor. And if that's my predictor for everybody with an X of 0, that must be because it's the mean of everybody with X equals 0. You with me? There's this transition that we go through when we talk about quantitative predictors to when we move to binary predictors. Quantitative predictors, we tend to be talking about individuals. An individual with an X score of is expected to have a certain Y prime. When we start talking about binary predictors, we're now talking about two groups. If you're in this group, we expect your score to have, and by the way, that's the average of the whole group. Well, if A is the expected value of Y if X equals 0, which is the group coded 0, and B is the expected direction and amount of change in Y for a 1-unit change in X, and with 0-1 coding, there is only one 1-unit change in X, then the regression weight with a binary predictor has to be the direction and extent of the mean difference between the groups. So in this regression equation, you get everything you're used to getting out of a two-group ANOVA. What's the mean of the one group? What's the mean difference for the other group? You can put these two numbers together and get the mean of the other group. So there's these transitions that you have to make back and forth between thinking about quantitative and binary. These definitions always work, but these definitions are more precise. We're able to talk about both individual scores and group means. So here's a regression model for depression. 2.5 times stress plus 23. The first thing that I want you able to do is to apply the formula. And it's pretty easy with numbers like this, but when you start toting 3 and 4 decimals around, it is an index of how fastidious you are. And most of us aren't nearly fastidious enough to carry around 3 decimals and do very well. That's why we have computers and computators and things like that. But if the patient has a stress score of 10, we take 10 times 2.5 plus 23, we expect them to have a depression score of 48. Make sense? Now, this is the cooperative part of the show. This is the audience participation part. Talk to me. Interpret B. For each 1 unit increase in stress, depression is expected to what? Increase or decrease?
Increase.
Increase. How do you know that?
Positive.
It's positive. Okay, positive means up goes with up. Increase by 2.5. It's that simple. Okay? And again, it's not just a number, it's a description of behavior. We think that as the stress index increases by 1, the depression index is going to increase by 2.5. If a person has a stress score of 0, which we'd all like to have, the expected depression score is 23. If we're going to predict job errors based on an interview score, we get this regression model. If a person has a score of 10, we take 10 times negative 6, we get negative 60, plus 95, we get 35. For each 1 unit increase in the interview score, errors are expected to decrease by 6. Make sense? And the poor bastard who gets an interview score of 0 is expected to have how many errors?
95.
Now, the correct answer in this case is not all of them. We don't know how many errors there are. Okay? But the average, if you have a score of 0, is 95. Let's switch over to a binary predictor. Whenever you're working with a binary predictor, the very first question you have to ask is, who got coded what? Don't assume, check. And watch out for me, I will often give you regression weights and regression formulas to interpret that don't make common sense or don't follow the literature, because I want to make sure that you're following the formula around, not your memory around. Okay, so if the formula looks like it's telling you something that you have no reason to believe, tell me what it says, not what you believe. The regression weight is 7.5. The regression constant is 15. I like to start with interpreting the constant first because I think it simplifies things. Two ways to think about that constant. It's either the expected value of x equals 0, or it's the mean of the group coded 0, which is 15. Okay. What's the 7.5 tell us? Well, if 15 is the mean of the group coded 0, and that regression weight is the direction and extent of expected change if x increases by 1, which would mean you're in the treatment group. The 7.5 means that the treatment group has a higher or lower score than the control.
Higher.
By how much?
7.5.
That regression weight is the mean difference between the groups. Well, if the control group has a 15 and the treatment group is different from it by 7.5, what is the mean of the treatment group? Make sense? Okay. Again, numbers that describe people and the behavior of people, not just statistics. Here we looked at job errors and the difference between managers and salespeople. The 8 tells us that salespeople have how many errors on average? 8. The regression weight tells us, stop and think, listen to what I actually ask. The regression weight tells us that managers average how many job errors? 6. 2 less or fewer than the sales folks. How are we doing? Okay. The mean of the control group, the mean difference between the groups, you put those together, you get the mean of the group coded 1. Here is the standard score regression model. Instead of working with the raw, unloved core measures, we're now working with the Z-score version of them. That's all that it is. Translate them to Z-scores. For a quantitative predictor, beta tells the expected Z-score change in the criterion for a 1 Z-unit change in that predictor. Remember, 1 Z-unit is a standard deviation. So as the predictor goes up by a standard deviation, by how much of a standard deviation does the criterion change? That beta is never more than 1 unless your data have perturbed the math. We'll show you examples later. Yes. The regression weight says if the predictor goes up by 1 standard deviation, by what proportion of a standard deviation does the criterion change in what direction? For a binary predictor, it tells the size or direction of the group mean difference in Z units. By how much of a standard deviation do the groups differ? Which, by the way, is the same thing as a D in meta-analysis. That's why a lot of meta-analysts like regression, because they can get that group difference out of a lot of different statistical models. Why no A? The mean of Y prime will always be the same as the mean of Y. We'll show you the magic that produces that in a little bit. The mean of Y prime is always the same as the mean of Y. Because the predictor is a Z-score, it has a mean of 0. So no matter what we multiply it by, it still has a mean of 0, which is the mean of the criterion, because the criterion is also a Z-score. Does that make sense? If we're predicting a Z-score with a mean of 0, from a Z-score that has a mean of 0, whatever we multiply that predictor by doesn't change its mean. Anything times 0, still 0. Which regression model to use? This question fascinates me. Yes?
What if ZX or beta ZX was 1?
Why can't it be 1? It can be 1 if there's a perfect correlation between them. And so however many standard deviations above the mean you are on X, you're that same amount above the mean on Y. It all fits.
But why is there no... I don't understand why there's no A.
Okay. This has to have the same average as the real Y. The Y prime has to have the same average as Y. Because they're Z scores, they all have an average of 0. Okay? That's a faith. That's just how Z scores work. If you multiply a set of data that have a mean of 0 by anything, those transformed data still have a mean of 0. So when I take ZX that has a mean of 0 and I transform it, that transformed value still has a mean of 0, which is what it needs. So I'm going to ask you to let me show you why we have A in a couple of slides and see if the two don't go together for you. Which regression model to use? I'm sort of fascinated by this question, not because it's complicated, but because people ask it. It depends on the data you have. If you have raw data, use the raw formula. If you have standardized data, use the standardized formula. Okay? That's pretty much what it comes down to. You'll do fine. All right, next.